Here.
Karen Case?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I will make a motion to approve tonight's October 10th agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded by Katie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to election of officers. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. Every October after the municipal election, the school board has the opportunity to elect officers to preside in the roles for the school year. Superintendent Quinn Painter will preside over the election of officers for president, vice president, and secretary treasurer.
Okay, so I would entertain any motions that anyone might have to nominate a president for your board.
I have no strong opinion on it, so if someone else would like to serve, I am fine
move
with that.
That Sarah say president.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so move.
Sorry.
Seconded by Jay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Congratulations, Sarah.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm happy to do it, but I am also want the rest of you to know that any time you might be interested in doing it, I am happy to step aside.
Well, thank you for serving again. And if you would like to do the rest of the nominations,
I'm sure that's fine. Yep. Okay, I'll take nominations for vice president.
I'll nominate Katie.
Okay. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Any other nominations? I'm hearing none. All those in favor of Catherine? Catherine? Of nominating Katie Hoagland as vice president? Or voting for, I guess, my head spinning still. Sorry, everybody, I was late. Voting Katie as vice president, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Congratulations on being vice president again.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll take nominations for secretary treasurer.
Thank you.
Yes, I am also happy to stay in that role unless somebody would like to nominate somebody else.
I move that Carrie Case remain as the secretary and treasurer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Secretary treasurer.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Or nominations been made and seconded. Any other nominations? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You're a well-functioning board. Way to go, team.
All right. As we said earlier, Amara indicated the student representative of Fort Charlotte Martin is not feeling well. Hope you feel better soon, Charlotte. Any correspondence? Okay. Moving on to comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Okay. Hearing none. Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Quiet group tonight, I think. Comments from board members? Congratulations, Katie. We're glad to have you stay on the board. Happy to be here. We'll move on to the consent agenda then. I'll make a motion to approve the October 10th consent agenda. Could I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded, and this includes our monthly accounting reports, our regular board meeting, and personnel action report. Motion's been made and seconded. Mara, can you call the roll?
Yes. Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Kay?
Yes.
Jay Olson?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to our administrative reports. We'll start out with superintendent reports. Superintendent Quinn Painter.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations to our recently elected officers on the board. So thank
tough
you
battle.
For serving. Appreciate that.
Very cutthroat.
It was a tough go. So, lots of things going on in the district. Definitely been a challenging couple of weeks as we've been dealing with some of the student situations and threats and the follow-up from that. Think that it just does really serve to remind us all of the importance of our plans and drills and follow-up procedures. We do have a discussion item on here later that has been brought up to discuss kind of reviewing communication protocols. It's been brought up by Heather before with the school improvement planning process, but I think it's also important to bring it to the forefront during these events. Also, just some focus on the community supports that we discussed during our annual crisis response and emergency preparedness meeting on October 3rd. Katie was there as the school board rep. It was a really good meeting. We had good turnout from all of our partners in the community. That's our fall meeting that we have every year anyway, just to review protocols, make sure we still have all of our people in place and people are still, we have all the current phone numbers, all those things. It was a committee that was originally designed as a crisis response committee only originally, and we've added the emergency preparedness component about 5 years ago because you can't have just reaction and response. You need to have some prevention and planning. So that is the focus, and we do have people on there from the medical center, police department, emergency services, PMC, behavioral health. We usually have a borough assembly rep, and we did.
Some pastors were there.
Yep, there's some clergy available. And it's a good team, and we had a good turnout. So continuing to just focus on that holistic approach, talking prevention and response. There was some conversation and some planning that's happened since then related to some of the facility modifications that we might want to do. These things always come up, and one of the things that we have done at different times and, you know, certainly did during COVID, but we are going to be figuring out a process and plan for locking the front doors of all the buildings. So we are probably overdue on that. Not that there was any reason that anything happened during these last events, but it's just one of those things. We just really need to do that. So we need to have a better handle on just in general who's in and out of the building, especially in this high school. It's such an open area. When you walk in, even with people paying attention, when people come in, it's, you know, and open. It's not designed. Our schools are not designed for this. They're not set up like police stations. They just aren't. So that will happen. We are working on kind of an intercom buzzer system. We'll have that in place. It'll be kind of a camera system related to that and a way to communicate with the front office. Elementary, typically this over there, that's going to have more of an impact on parents and adults coming in and out of the building. Over here, we have to figure out some things with logistics for passing periods and what that looks like with kids who are back and forth between the shops. So we'll work out some plans there and probably have some kind of a drop box or something out front too for some things. Like if parents call and they've got a lunch or gym shoes or whatever, they can just call and drop things off. And then we'll just have to do some other, you know, some planning. If people have volunteers coming into classrooms and all those kinds of things, we just need to do that. We have discussed the large group of middle and high school kids out front of the school since the beginning of the school year. This just prompted us to say, nope, they just need to come on in the building. So when the buses come up in the morning, they enter the building at that time. And that's worked just fine. We've already started that. They just go to their classes. We do already have one of our Alice refresher training scheduled. That was already scheduled prior to all of this. We've been working on trying to figure that out for about 6 weeks. So that's the alert lockdown counter training that we've done. We did with Officer Aris last year and Becky and Julie from the medical center, and they will be doing the training again on November 3rd. And that's for all of our new people and anybody else in our district who wants to participate in that training. We also have trainers locally. Katie's one of them, and Becky Turland in Youth Mental Health First Aid. That's a training that we've been discussing here, but also we are doing some planning after our crisis response meeting, just highlighting the importance of when situations happen within the school setting. It is not just the school that can really respond, react, have an impact on this. It's a community conversation about relationships and mental health and stressors in families, and it just sort of highlights all of that. We cannot do it alone, and lots of things come, baggage comes into our building and baggage goes out of our building. So we there's conversation, a smaller subgroup from the crisis response team that's meeting also in the next couple of weeks to discuss providing some of these different sorts of trainings for community members, for families, for parents, for church groups, for, you know, it's just kind of when these things happen, I think it brings all those things to the forefront, and it's important to provide some opportunities for families. And we certainly have had families asking us questions about things like that, support conversations. conversations and groups and things that they can be participating in. So stay tuned for more information about that. We are planning to go to the AASB conference. It sounds like Sarah and I will be attending that. And in November, we also have our strategic planning on November 1st. We sent out the survey on Monday, I think. We sent the community survey out. It'll be out for a couple, 3 weeks for people to give feedback about lots of things. And that we sent it also to our high school students, all of our staff, and then on our Thrill Show share list, and then it's on social media. So if you can't find it, let us know, but it's out there. So I want to get some feedback on that. Starting to work on curriculum review process. We're focusing on CTE and fine arts and possibly a review of secondary math materials, not necessarily the curriculum itself, but just looking at materials and resources. So depending on what that looks like, we would be bringing something forward to the board for that. Finishing up first round of MAP testing and our DIBELS testing, which is the new requirement for our K-3. We're doing it with all of our K-5 students and our fabulous elementary crew working so hard, getting all these reading plans together and doing all the work that has to happen for this Reads Act. So thank you to Ms. Kahn and her amazing staff for doing all that work. We have entered the student count period, opened October 2nd, last through the 27th. We are still looking at about 465 students, so great. We'll probably have a work session in November to discuss where we are after the count comes in and just talking budgets and plans and looking down the road this year and then beyond. What that might be. And then we are going to have another district-wide Veterans Day parade again on November 10th. And we're working with the American Legion on that, and people seem to like the parade. So yeah, we're doing the parade, mm-hmm. and it really lets the kids be more engaged. They love it. And then our veterans can ride in comfortable cars because it seems to rain a lot on November 10th, and then they just get to wave and be
dry.
Warm and dry, and that's where they should be. So we're all wet outside, and that's better. So, yeah. Any questions for me? Yeah.
Next, we move on to elementary principal's report. Principal Kahn.
Great. Shout out. We had 212 families out of 222 show up for conferences.
Wow.
That's pretty sick.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we have had our first school improvement meeting. That the slideshow is actually highlighted in what I sent you. So if you're interested in that, most of our baseline data, some of it has not been compiled. So there will be more in December school board meeting. We had conferences on September 27th and 28th so that we could meet the Alaska Reads Act deadline, the law that states that we have to hold conferences or a meeting with parents 15 days after they have been assessed. And then we started our interventions last week. I think that was just last week. So we are fully in the swing of things now. People are really liking the interventions, the small groups, the chance to see these kids grow, and we've already seen a lot of growth from these kids. That is all I'm looking to highlight. One oops that Katie and I had found, actually Katie found and questioned, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, why, right? So we applied for our preschool grant last year. We were not aware that we got that funding until the end of June. In that preschool grant, we were required to select a curriculum that goes with our teachers' gold strategies assessment that's required by the state for preschool. And the one that matched that was the creative curriculum. However, we could have chosen any preschool curriculum that we wanted. We forgot to bring it forth to you, so we forgot that part. So hopefully in the future, we'll be able to look at the creative curriculum, tell you what it's about, and we haven't started teaching with it, and I taught with it probably, it's been like 20 years, but 20 years, and it was not digital at that point. It was all paper, and so that's one oops on our part that we had forgotten. And we have lots of things coming up. Our first math night, we have 10 11 volunteers in the elementary school that are willing to stay after their hours, and they're going to have math night in their classroom from 6:30 to 7:30. There will be workstation games for every grade level in the elementary school, and it's just kind of come in, do as you would like on that math night, go out. There'll be food, hot dogs and chips, and something fun, and I think frosty from Carly in the cafeteria. But that will be fun, and the grade level games will be adapted to anybody that could go into those rooms. We are having Mr. Hamley and Mrs. Miller, who are doing an online component for parents who are interested in other resources outside. So they will be doing something outside of our Bridges curriculum, giving parents resources that they might be able to use with their kids out. That's it. Any questions there?
Thank you.
Okay.
I believe Mr. King is not available this evening, not feeling well, so we'll,
not.
Yeah, we'll skip his report for now, and Mr. Cabral is probably coaching.
He is actually.
Oh, are they on the way to Anchorage already?
No,
okay.
He's awesome meetings. He comes back tomorrow morning, and then they leave again on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Busy.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Probably do a shout out to our fabulous
sure.
school cross country
oh.
team
yeah.
for yeah. their performance at state. Up to the crew up there this weekend.
Yeah, I thought it was impressive. The girls would have won if they would have had a full team.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
One handily, it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
But
next year, but unfortunately, Kimberly won't be able to enjoy.
No, y'all go on.
Oh, yeah. It did great, though, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to school board committee reports. I think we talked about crisis, a real recent one, and
yeah.
But if you have anything to add, Katie? Or
I do. A group okay. of us went to the School Safety and Wellbeing Summit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. missed the last school board meeting because we were there.
Yep.
It was a great summit. It was really informative conference, summit, whatever you want to call it, I guess. Really informative and definitely, I mean, not that we ever want crises to happen, but the timing of it and having it so fresh in our mind to come back and kind of strategize and adapt how we're doing things was really helpful. And then on Erica's note, to kind of piggyback on her, that subgroup of the crisis committee here and members of the SHARE Coalition that are forming kind of this mental health awareness group. We are also going to be planning some mental health community cafes to kind of talk about what mental health is, the resources that are available, and anybody in the community can come to those. So we haven't set dates for that yet, but we'll have some opportunities for people to come and actually engage and figure out what trainings they should or could be going to, as well as community-wide resources to support mental well-being. And it is Mental Health Awareness Day. So just putting that out there too. And then Becky and I did set a date. This isn't necessarily crisis, but it involves that, the preventive side of it. December 2nd will be our first community-wide youth mental health first aid training. And I will be sharing information about how you can all sign up for that. I encourage anybody in the community to sign up. It's a really great training. It is a full day. It's a Saturday, but thanks to the Petersburg Community Foundation, we'll get some lunch brought in, some snacks and all of that, and try to keep you all at least fed and engaged throughout the whole day. That's what I have.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, facilities?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't have any legislative liaison right now. Nicole, we haven't started negotiations yet. Mm-hmm. Policy?
Like we need to have a meeting.
We do.
Yeah.
We need to schedule
okay.
one.
Yeah. Okay. Technology, okay, and wellness is usually a spring thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, next we'll move on to special recognition, which is exciting, and October is Principals Recognition Month. Thank you to our administrators who are working incredibly hard every day to make Petersburg School District a great place to learn. Principal Kahn, thank you very much, and also Principal King, if you are listening. We also want to congratulate Board Member Katie Holmland for earning the Basic Boardmanship Award from the Alaska Association of School Boards, and then also one of our staff members, Mr. Cabral, for this is independent of the school district, but the Alaska Children's Trust, they're coming to town to host a local ceremony to honor Jamie Cabral as a champion for kids on October 16th at 6 p.m., and they're using the middle school, high school library for that celebration, and they are hosting it with pizza and cookies, apparently. So,
and there is an RSVP. You can, the school district shared the invite, and you should RSVP just so we make sure we have enough treats and pizza and all that jazz. But yeah, everyone should come out, celebrate our champion.
Okay, great. Next, we didn't have any old business, so we'll move on to new business, 16.1. which is our grant acceptance for the fiscal year 2024. The board will be presented with a list of grants the district has been awarded, and the board will vote to accept the grant funding. So as strange as it is, we make a motion and second it, and then we have the presentation and anticipated acceptance. But so I'll go ahead and make a motion to accept the grant funding. If I could have a second.
Second.
Motion's been made and second by Katie. Now we'll have the presentation and any discussion related to that.
So these grants are, I will go down through them. We've discussed at one point or another all of these. Mm-hmm. So I'll just kind of do just a quick recap just for you guys and then for people listening. So some of these first grants, actually the first five that are listed, Title I-A, Title I-C, Title VI-B, preschool, and CTE, Carl Perkins, those are formula grants that we receive every year. And so Title I is primarily focused on supporting reading and math. It's very targeted at the elementary school, and that is $181,000. Title I-C is migrant. That one is $152,000. That's another formula grant that we receive. And I do definitely want to just call attention to the work that has been done by Carly Johnson McIntosh, by Mara Latomsky, and by Heather Kahn for really doing a lot of outreach for our students these last couple of years and really trying to target and hone down resources and activities that families want and that, you know, kids are requesting. And so that program has really grown in the last few years, and I feel like we're really making a lot of progress there. So it's expanded really district-wide and just trying to provide a lot of different trainings at a financial literacy kind of course for students and families a couple of weeks ago, working on some mental health supports, partnering with AMSI for cold water safety. So it's really just, I want to shout out to them about the work that they've done.
And we have almost 105 students.
Yeah.
Qualified.
Wow.
Yeah, migrants. So that's
25, almost 25%.
Yeah.
School district. Huh.
So that's great. And then that also allows them, that's one of the reasons I think we discussed this at the last meeting, what helps us increase our ability to have the community eligibility for meals for middle and high school students. We have those are called direct certification students. And when we have a high number of those and we get that high percentage, then that allows us to have that and we don't have to deal with, you know, meal costs and all that. So it's really nice. So working hard to get our percentage up for the elementary, but it's harder to qualify. I mean, elementary kids don't qualify as much for migrant. It's just, they're not necessarily out on the fishing boat at age seven. So still working on that. Title VI-B and preschool, those are both really focused more on special education and supporting preschool specifically. So that helps with some salary and resources and materials, and then also helps to pay for our related services like our speech, occupational therapy, physical therapy, support our school psychologist that helps with assessment. So that's where that goes. CTE is their career technical education, Carl Perkins money. One of the most cumbersome grants that we have for $22,000. It's incredible. But anyway, so we're learning a lot about that. So Rick Dormer used to take care of that grant, and now Dave Owens and I are learning a lot about it, and then we will be teaching Mr. King all about it. Anyway, COVID relief, this is the last year for ESSER III money. This is the American Rescue Plan funds that are available to our district, and we have some salaries in there. We have some of our nursing services are paid for in there. We've supported additional mental health, behavioral health support through that funding. So $226,000, that has to be spent by September 30th of 2024. So we're on that countdown. The Alaska Literacy, that's the literacy grant that we discussed in the summer and the spring. It's a one-year grant. We were first awarded like $165,000, I think. And then they awarded an additional like $70,000.
Wow.
So this came, it's kind of a pass-through grant, I think, through DEED, through the department. It's 1 year, very focused on professional development and supporting literacy development. So we have lots of money coming for professional development this year. So when people see us all at the airport, we have specifically arranged our in-service days to support this travel, and also just know it is not coming from local dollars. That is coming from grants. So pretty excited about that. Migrant Book Award, that's just that's one we get every year, and it does go directly to supporting getting books in the hands of our migrant students. It's just a smaller portion of the migrant grant. Suicide prevention grant, we've discussed this one before. That suicide prevention and postvention, we call it the SAP grant. I think this is our third round of it. It's a 3-year grant. This is our third time of being re-upped for it. So it is about $28,000, and that helps support doing the school climate connectedness survey, which we do annually for our students. It supports behavioral health with our partnership through Petersburg Medical Center for direct service to students here at school. Not enough money, but that's what it is. It also supports our counselor attending the counselor's conference in Anchorage and and some other materials, but mostly it's people and services. Indian education, that supports some of Jamie's salary. It also supports Native Youth Olympics and other cultural activities when we've taken our students over to Mount Edgecombe. We've done that several times. They usually do a stop through Juneau. It's a focus on what are they doing after high school life, post-secondary. So they'll do some work in Juneau. They've gone to see Alaska Heritage Institute. They've taken a tour of UAS and some career and college ideas for what they might want to do in the future. And then they've kind of culminated in some really great activities over at Mount Edgecombe. So that's what that's about. Small Rural School Achievement Program, SRSA grant. It's usually anywhere from $20,000 to $26,000 or $27,000. It's almost 27 this year. And that is also a professional development grant. It's a federal grant, and it supports trainings and conferences. We've used it for all kinds of things over the years, AFSCME, lots of things. So that is that grant. Early learning grant, that's the preschool grant that Heather was referencing, the curriculum and the creative curriculum and the gold assessment. That's also a 1-year grant. That is not a new program, but it's allowing us to put some funding towards our current preschool teacher, Miss Marifern, and also to support some of that, some of the assessment and the curriculum piece. So it's a 1-year grant. Safety and Wellbeing is the conference that Katie was referencing, and we sent 6 people up to that, and that was just a direct $10,000 that came just for that conference. That's what it's for. School Improvement is the second year of a 3-year grant. That's also the grant that's taking place at the elementary school. Last year it was $10,000. This year it's $25,000. Next year it's also $25,000. And that supports, we have a consultant that's helping us, and then it also again supports training and professional development for our teachers. Healthy Meals Incentive, that's the grant that Carly wrote, supporting our fabulous food service program and also helping to fund a portion of our school nurse this year and next year. ELA Core Literacy, that's the grant we spent a lot of time talking about last year that helped us purchase the new ELA curriculum, the CKLA curriculum and the training. This is the second year of that grant. There's not a ton of money left in that. There was a big outlay last year, like $87,000 for new curriculum and training, but this will just be used for basically implementation this year, and then that will be the end of that. Not for a homeless person, it's just a conference about how to support students that are considered homeless. And that was just a 1-year grant, supported the travel. That was actually Mariah Clemens attended that last week. And then there's just another small portion that's a separate sort of special ed grant, but really the primary special ed funding comes through 6B up above. So a total special revenue grant number of $1.4 million.
A lot of money.
So we're super pleased with all of that. Also knowing we could not sustain that work that goes into supporting all those grants. It's a ton of work. So, yeah, great, but some of them that are 1 year, good. Mm-hmm. 1 year, good. Yeah, and was there anything else on there, Mara, at the bottom? Did we talk about the other one? No. The other 3 year?
You just had a note about.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, but that's split over. It's split over 2 years. So, that we'll carry forward half of that. So,
yeah. Okay. Any questions? Discussion?
Who oversees that we're actually following all the guidelines with those? You? Okay.
Me, Heather, Shannon. Mm-hmm. We need a grant manager. Really, it's a ton of work, but we're gonna keep our head above water and we're gonna make sure we don't go to jail. That's what we're gonna say, right? Yeah, we will not go to jail.
Those are really good goals.
Maybe we need a floating grant manager between the borough, the medical.
Well, we kind of talked about
here,
that this morning.
Where they just make sure they're all three entities are doing their reporting correctly.
It's an interesting process because we've talked about this a lot. Like, do you find somebody, and then who is that person, and then because there's so many things that are sort of just education related, and then how do you explain all the things that you're doing? You know, sometimes it becomes that whole. Well, Heather helped write a couple of them. I've helped write some. Like, you just then you know all the details, and you're like, well, this is just what we do, and then we're helping Shannon because she's new to all of this too, and she's doing great, by the way, but she's like, oh my gosh, I'm with a grant. Great. So, you know, it's just a lot. So we will stay ahead of it. We will. Not writing anymore right now, though. I say that.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Mara, call the roll since we're accepting money.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Nicole
Olson? Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to 16.2, which is more informational for the AK Star results timeline. DEED has updated the cut scores to align with the state's goal of Alaska Star, which initiates the state Board of Education's approval process. The anticipated timeline for the approval includes two board meetings in December and January, with a 30-day public comment period in between. The anticipated release of student reports is early March following approval of cut scores and completion of reporting within the NWEA, the assessment vendor. So we kind of discussed this a little bit today when we were on with KFSK today, and it was interesting because it was originally going to be this fall, and now it's been pushed back to March, which is almost a year after the kids took the test. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can kind of reiterate what you were talking about earlier today for anybody that might have a question.
Absolutely. So we did attach this flyer. It is out there if people want to check it out, and it does have good links on it if people want to look at the content standards specifically, if they want to look at just the kind of the process that's gone into the state adopting AK Star and just all the steps along the way that have happened over the last couple of years. So basically, just to go kind of down the line there, you can see the timeline, and these are all things we've discussed over the last years as it's come into being, where they were working through the design and the blueprints in 2021. Last summer in 2022, they did a standard setting, and then there was a study that occurred this summer after, because the first year of 2022 was really like a baseline, just very baseline. It didn't include everything. This last year was sort of the first real, like, it's going out. This is what it's going to be. We're going to use these cut scores that were designated the first time around, the first pass through, I guess. And now they've done their validation study, and they are coming back to look at them for sort of the final time policy review this fall, and then it has to go through the state board in December, state board again at a second reading in January, and then they'll have to work with the vendor, the NWEA vendor, for the final release in March. So it's a long way out. I think I said today on the radio, and I just the commissioner met with us a few weeks ago about this, and the way she put it was, you know, we want to get it right, even if it takes longer. We don't want to put it out or have the cut scores not be exactly accurate to what we want them to be and really perfectly aligned with the standards. So it's a little frustrating, but it is what it is. So that's kind of where that is. And Sarah asked today, maybe, or maybe Hannah did, or we were discussing, yeah, maybe just talking about was what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, if it doesn't get out till, for a year after, what do you even do with that? And essentially, what we've said about that is what we've said before. It's the summative part of the assessment. It's the one day, one time mm-hmm. assessment. It's a tool. It's important. Obviously, we take it seriously. It goes to deed. Absolutely. You know, it's an important part of it, but it's not really what we use for instruction. So that's where we use our MAP assessments and we use our DIBLs and we use our benchmarks and our screenings and all the other tools that we use within our own instruction in our own district. So from that perspective, I mean, of course, it's important. We want to know how we did, but it is what it is. So it doesn't, it's not a huge, it's not deterring things for us for instruction.
Questions about that? Okay. Next, 16.3, which is communication protocols and community outreach. So the district would like to create a work group interested in reviewing and refining communication protocols to and from the district, as well as ways to provide support and resources for families. This is in light of recent events, as well as an overall district-wide procedures for communication and support. And I think Principal Kahn made this suggestion several months ago, you know, kind of looking at what our protocols are, and then, and like we said, in light of recent events, you know, is there some ways to improve it or change it or add to it or not? Yeah. And so we were talking a little bit about this on the radio too, that looking for maybe a work group. We don't want it to be huge because then it's harder to get things done, but at the same time, if people are interested, should they contact the district office?
Yeah, they can
in the
email
community
or call.
If you're listening and
Nicole
you're interested.
Had also mentioned this to okay. me recently, but she right. was interested in, so I think you're still interested
yeah.
in being
okay, good.
As a board member, so yeah. that would be great. And then just, yeah, there's a lot of things that go into sort of general communications anyway, and even the avenues and the tools that we use. But also just timelines and consistency around it. And then, of course, in these recent events, what does that look like? What can you share? What can you not share? I mean, there's sort of all of that.
Would it make sense to also have Carrie there as our policy person then, so that our communications
Absolutely.
Are following
I'd be happy
with
to,
our policy?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be part
yeah
of
that
would be great. Okay.
So just for people who are listening, what would this subcommittee look like? Who would head it up? And you had said that people should reach out to
yeah.
someone on the admin level and say that they're interested. And then what kind of a time frame or commitment are we looking at for people who want to participate?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So I would say at this point I would be organizing it and coordinating it so that we can look at it as a whole rather than just at one level or another. So I think that's important to do. I'm assuming we would probably have representatives from both all the levels mm-hmm. within the school setting. And then if we have parents who are interested in participating, it would be nice to have some different voices from different age levels too. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked today, you threw out a number. Do you have anywhere from 6 to 10 people? I hate to get too big because mm-hmm. it just gets yeah. weird, you know, it's just hard to get anything done. I would hope that we could start from some of the needs assessments. Heather has some data from her school improvement process last spring that I think would be helpful to start looking at, and then just talking through maybe getting an assessment of where we are currently, what kinds of things happen, just general communications, and what avenues do people use. We would have to do some of that work, I think, on our end. And then we would want feedback from people about what that looks like, or, well, I never see that, or I didn't know that, or mm-hmm. it's too much, or it's too little, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or how often, or why don't we hear anything from this, or why do I get 17 emails about that? You know, because mm-hmm. really, we've had both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get both kinds of feedback. It's too much. I want 17 of those, you know.
Yeah.
Not enough. So I would say, I don't think this needs to be something that needs for months on end, but I mean, I certainly think we could probably plan for 2 to 4 sessions of time, it seems like. We could talk through some things, review some things, and maybe have some samples that I can look at as well and fine. So, yeah.
Okay.
2-4 meetings, more in there.
Yeah.
5 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Spitballing. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
So if you're in listening in the community and you're interested, just call Mara, the district
yeah,
office.
You can
would that be probably
her,
easiest?
Or email one of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, we might start recruiting you.
Mm-hmm. We can find people.
Okay. Any other information on that? If not, we'll move on to additional comments from board members. Okay, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. I understand we've got swim, dive here this weekend, right?
Swim dive is here this weekend. Wrestling leaves tomorrow for Craig. And I don't know how many teams we have coming for swim. I don't know how many teams we have this weekend. We'll get I'm sure that will come out probably tomorrow.
Okay.
Or the next day. That'll be
I just thought for people listening.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking for volunteers is what I heard.
Yes. So Friday and Saturday for swim. Yes. They can, I know they can always use people to help that. So it'll be fun. Plus it'll be fun.
And then we've got the beginning of November. We have our strategic plan on the 1st.
And your evening meeting that night.
Yep, the board. And then also the, just for those that are filling in their calendar, November 10th for the Veterans Parade. Anything else? I mean, I know we'll head up our usual board meeting and then head up to Anchorage, but it won't be till.
No, it's that weekend. See, we'll miss it. We'll miss the parade.
Oh.
Which is a bummer. But
that's sad.
We leave on Thursday and it's on Friday.
Bummer. Anything else? Okay. Future agenda items?
Work session in November. Do you want to wait till November to decide on when that might be? Wait until your November meeting? November 12th is your November meeting.
I would, I guess so. Would anybody else have a?
The earlier we schedule a work session, the better.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. We want to do it after, before, on the same day, or do you guys want to pick a different day?
What if we did, do we typically do that after the board meeting?
And or before, depending on, I mean, it's hard for Jay to get there, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before would be hard for me on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I think after would be ideal.
Okay. So we'll just stay late.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
That's on November 12th.
Well, I'll be right after we come back from the ASB also.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, November 12th.
Oh, I think I'm gone.
Sorry. The 12th?
Our meeting is
14th.
14th. Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm
I just forgot that.
I haven't looked. I just assumed it was correct.
I'll actually be out of town.
I will be out of town.
I'll be out of town.
Oh, you will.
I come back on the 16th.
That's not a great day.
Do we have three, or do we need to reschedule the meeting?
I'll be here.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so let's still plan on it.
I mean, unless you want to push it first. I mean, that's Thanksgiving week. So.
Thanksgiving.
That doesn't sound fun.
No, let's just leave at the 14th.
I love you.
I'm kidding. I'm here.
Unless we bring
her. You'll just have to give your answer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
Will do.
Okay, let's just keep it at the 14th then.
Okay.
Okay. Other new business? Okay. Then I'll make a motion to recess to executive session to discuss the student matter. Could I have a second?
Good.
Motion's made and seconded by Jay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We are now officially in executive session.